Welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast, the show for people who want to maximize their marketing potential. My name is Katya, and I'm your host on this exciting journey as we talk to our experts who join us. From influencer marketing to e-commerce strategy and everything in between, each episode will feature industry experts that share their insights and provide actionable tips to help you achieve your marketing goals. So put your AirPods in, turn up the volume, and get ready for our guest today, Josh Roche from Movetic. Welcome, Josh. I am super excited to have you on the Grin Gets Real podcast. I think that the power of storytelling is huge, and who better to talk about it than you, as you have an agency that really focuses on brand storytelling. So welcome.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. I very much appreciate it and excited to dig deeper into storytelling.
Me too. Let's get started. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Let's focus on your expertise when it comes to storytelling.
Cool. Well, perfect for context. So I started an agency called Movetic. We're a branding agency. We're hyper creative, very data driven when it comes to strategy, and so much with branding, web design, photography, and content. So everything we do obviously hits and transcends into storytelling. So again, just want to say thank you for having me today.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get started with the basics. I feel like storytelling is pretty obvious, but if you can define it for me, that would be great. And what I'm really looking for is kind of a little bit more information on your storytelling framework.
Perfect. So to give a little bit of context, so with Movetic, we work with a multidiscipline team of individuals who transcend creative, when that goes to design, copywriting, and all that fun stuff. So with that being said, you know, we work in all different facets from CPG, Crocs, Lyft, and one of the bigger ones that we really help spearhead is Screwball Whiskey. So when I look at storytelling, for me, it's kind of the art of expression with who you are and what you stand for. So that's kind of like the main thing that I look at it. And I have like two kind of components that I really think make the most impact. One is the internal side. So a lot of people within organizations, right, who they are, what they stand for, their core values, their mission, their vision, and then it transcends into the external, right? So what you say on your website, within your brand book, pretty much everything marketing and sales related, storytelling really is that paradigm across all of it.
So when you research, not you specifically, but in general, right? I've read a ton of books on storytelling to begin with. There are all sorts of just frameworks anywhere that are as simple as four steps, and then some that are incredibly involved that show like 15 steps. There's the idea of the hero's journey when it comes to telling a story. Do you subscribe to a particular formula when building that out for a brand, or is it very missions, values driven, and then that's your kind of North Star for sharing that brand story?
Yeah, great question. I think it's kind of a mix of both. You know, at the end of the day, to even tell a good story, you have to be honest, you have to be open, you have to be vulnerable. So yeah, if you don't have any of those key facets, you're not going to be able to tell an effective story that really does relate. So what I like to do is more so talk to leadership, get them aligned, and then really do a lot more of a discovery call to figure out who they are and why they matter. Right. Like you said, there's a ton of different frameworks with what you do, what you know, your different buyer personas to your customers, but at the end of the day, if you're not authentic to who you are and what you stand for, then all of it's pretty much void in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I really feel like authenticity is key for not just telling your brand story, but also really making sure that the message hits home when it comes down to that. Now, what role does storytelling have when it comes to design? And the reason that I ask this is because if I'm writing a story, that makes sense, right? Like, okay, I'm going to tell you the story. But a lot of times you have to visualize that. So how does storytelling play in design?
Yeah, so I think fundamentally, you know, design in itself is already kind of a juxtaposition. Because at the end of the day, design is really form and function, and it's meant to solve a problem. So if you take a high level approach to that, right, that's kind of like the idea of doing it. So from my point of view, it obviously covers all different facets of creative. So at the core for me, it's really used to solve like a huge problem that a company has. So going back to when you were saying earlier, what's the power of storytelling and how does it work? Yeah. Well, everything does need to funnel up to who you are and why you matter. Then all the visuals, all the aesthetics, the look and feel can do that, right? And so specifically when you're looking at you know, icons, typography, color, anything that really resonates with your brand, your target audience, that really is the throughput for storytelling as well. And design is kind of a core component to that. You know, for me, you know, the aesthetics of a brand and just in general have completely elevated, right? At the end of the day, it's kind of like, how do you compete in a market? And I think that's something that's super important for a lot of brands to think about is take a step back. You know, who are you and what do you stand for? Are you the quality brand? Are you meant to be, you know, like, do you have a unique value proposition like core tech? Or is your, you know, like, are your benefits like actually outperforming your competitors? And if so, how can you use design as a way to effectively tell that story?
Well, and I also am curious because what you're saying seems very, very brand focused, right? Like I'm telling my brand story. What role does the customer have, or like that end user, the person that you're trying to reach, what role do they play in helping you tell your story?
I think at the end of the day, they help tell everything, right? I mean, back in the day, it was such a one-to-one kind of ratio, right? It was a brand tells the customer, this is exactly who we are. This is what we stand for. Right. And that's just from my point of view, long gone are those days. I feel a brand should find a way to embody and better suit somebody's life and their lifestyle and their core values and then find a meaningful way to interject. So for me, it's a little bit different than the way that marketing was. And I get like, you know, obviously it's very brand focused and stuff like that. But for me, it's about building a community and finding what actually matters to them, then developing a product or a service around them, and then telling that story and bringing them along the journey. I mean, we're seeing a lot of that, you know, with influencer marketing, specifically as you guys know, Brynn, one of the biggest things, right, is how can you create content that not only makes an impact for them, but providing them with the right tools for them to be successful.
And I appreciate that you're bringing up influencer marketing too, because one of the things that I really run into when, you know, just speaking with customers is this idea of leveraging influencers to help you tell that story and not verbally, visually, right? It's more than just placing your product in a post. It's leveraging their voice to share your story. What are your thoughts on how you can create a brand story, a visual brand story, like on Instagram?
Yeah. So I love that question, by the way, because I think that's so important that you brought that up. So taking a step back to, right, going back to the beginning of what I was talking about is, A, as a brand, you need to identify who you are, why you matter, right? Then once you figure out who you are and why you matter, then you develop a community, right, of individuals who align with your core values. Then based off of that, that's the exciting part, right? Like that's when you get to actually bring in people who share those core values. They are creative. And that's the best part about today. I mean, we have TikTok, we have all these editing apps, we have all these different cool tools. And now it's less about, okay, this is what I think they want. And it's more about bringing them in, whether it's like collabs, whether it's saying, hey, we're going to do a limited run with this influencer and we're going to give you net profits or proceeds of that. Right. And so that's the exciting part. But the problem that I feel that brands fail to do is they fail to find authentic influencers who align with their lifestyle, then stuff a message down people's throats. And that just doesn't work today. And you're seeing that affect everything down to the core KPIs, right? Engagement rates going down. You're seeing brands time and time again getting the same influencers, right? You're seeing them just going after macro and they should be going after micro, macro, and nano. And they should be really focusing on what are the core competencies that they have and how do they actually tell an effective story. So it's definitely an exciting time, I think, to be a brand, but I think it's up to the brand to have the right core values and be authentic from the get-go, then find the right people in the community.
I love that you said that. And I'm kind of curious, and this is really evident, especially with influencer marketing. Everybody really wants to do it. They want to, I don't want to say that they want to get on the bandwagon, but some people approach it in like, all right, this is the new hotness, which is not new, but this is the new hotness. Let's do this. You know, it's a little bit of a shotgun approach. What do you say that to brands that are just kind of approaching you and don't quite have their mission and values aligned before you engage with them? What does that interaction from an agency perspective look like for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at branding or creative or design, it all comes down to business, right? Are they effective? Do the right ops? And what are their sales? So taking that into consideration, it's more like, okay, that's awesome that you want to go after X, Y, and Z, but is that going to resonate? Do you have a history of that resonating with your target audience? let's look at the analytics, right? I know you're huge on analytics, just like I am. Yes. Although you're creative, it's all about that data-driven stuff. Okay, what are the customers saying? What is your industry saying about those key things? And then what does your GA look like, right? Your Google Analytics, what do your ads say? Are all of those mm-hmm. saying what you want to go after? If not, then you really need to refocus. If they are, then you can continually go into it. But that's where I find the biggest challenge for a lot of brands is that they're constantly going after something that they're not. And that's okay. But I think what you really need to know is like everything, whenever you do take a step back and really trying to find who you are as an individual, as a brand, it's going to make a lot more of a meaningful impact when it does come to sales and revenue. And a lot of people are always, you know, juxtaposed between, you know, the intangibles and tangibles. But at the end of the day, some of the intangibles outweigh some of the key metrics that people think about from a tangible standpoint.
No, that's a really good point. And you're right. I'm a bit of a data geek and a creative, which I feel like seems counterintuitive, but it's true. I really feel like you need some sort of metric to at least let you know that you're going in the right direction. A bit of a compass is, I guess, the best way that I could describe it. How do you evaluate whether you've been successful at telling a brand story?
Yeah. One of my favorite things I think about marketing is that every brand is at a different position, right? So mm-hmm. I love getting all the right, just like you, you're super process oriented, get all the right tools in place to be effective. Do they have the GTM tag squared away? Do they have the Google Analytics? What are their paid ads doing? Like, take the time to truly research what people are talking about. Look at the directories. Like, I know it is very time consuming, but at the end of the day, the more you do that, the better off you will be in the long term. So for me, once I get those processes and tactics in place, you know, my key KPIs, then I look into what is my community saying? Is it resonating with them? Are they using the hashtag that we're talking about? Are they voting about it? Are they using what we gave them to be effective, right? A good example would be like stories on Instagram, right? We push out a campaign with micro and influencers, and we say, hey, this is what we really want to chat about. Are they getting DMs? Are people liking it? Are we commenting? Are people saving it, right? There's a whole slew of different KPIs and each brand is different.
Yeah. And I think that for brands, it's tough. I assume that it's a balancing act, right? Because when it comes down to it, we're all in the line of business. Like, that's our end goal, right? Yes. And you have to kind of find this balance of like, okay, I get it, data, sentiment, I want people to feel good about it, but I also need to make a sale. So I'm wondering, like, what are your thoughts on how to balance all of that out to, you know, improve your ROI? Like, what play does sharing your brand story or, you know, looking at the analytics dive into, like, that direct sale?
I think you need to, first off, every business moving forward needs to be data driven, 100%. Yeah. Like, they need to be, right? It's just a matter of the influx of level of creativity with data and the time that you spend on it. In the perfect world, I layer data equal with creative. So every decision you're making needs to come from data, and you really need to. So you say, hypothetically, you start with data and you look at, hey, last year we ran this campaign, right? What were the results? What was the lift? What was the open rate, right? You can look at all your different things, analyze them independently, then come up with your observations. Then you layer on, okay, what's working on a creative sense, right? We all know GIFs are working really well. Video does a great job from awareness, but single image tend to be a little bit better on the actual conversion, right? Like, there's all these different metrics that you kind of see independently of each variable. Then from there, you go back and you reflect, right? So it's like this constant evolution. I feel the problem and what you're kind of hitting at is that, like, brands either do one or the other. And at the end of the day, it's like, okay, let's tell this brand story and it's very creative, but at the end of the day, we need to make money. Like, obviously we're here to make revenue and you need to meet those goals, but it's how do you systematically take the data, bring it into creative, bring it back to data, going back into creative and working in harmony to effectively meet your goals. That's kind of the way I look at it.
I have an agency background as well too. And I think that one of the things that I continued to run into was kind of having to prove that something's working and looking for the right metric. Mm-hmm. And there's never,
I always like to say there's not one metric that you're looking at. You're looking at the story that the numbers are trying to tell you. If you're too focused on like the impressions or an engagement from a social perspective, right? But you're not looking at your website, then you're missing a piece of the pie, right? It's not the whole story. In reality, it should be an omni-channel approach, and every channel has a different metric to look at. But I do want to take it back to just the design aspect of it, because this is also, you know, as I run a creative team, it's what I run into all the time, right? If I don't have words, how can I leverage visual to bring people through that marketing funnel? Do you think that you can tie how much you tell of your brand story to the marketing funnel? So for instance, I've got top of funnel. I have to tell you who I'm at. How much do I tell someone of my brand story?
So I love that analogy, because I think in every life cycle, it's different, right? And every brand sentiment is different. For instance, so we're just starting working with Crocs, right? So we're gonna be doing a bunch of content and work for them to help release one of the new products that's coming out in the market. So for them, right, you can be a little bit more direct response, because people know who Crocs is. They know the story, that what they are, very quality driven, diverse driven. They're kind of for everybody, very new, fun, Gen Z focused, right? One thing that I did want to say that I feel gets overlooked a lot is the value of the choice when you're looking at an ad, for instance, on a website, right? A lot of people, when you're talking about the story of brand, right, there's so many different ways to do it. We know that when you look at an ad and it's a little bit more product focused, it tends to convert a little bit higher than something that's lifestyle focused. Why is that? Well, that's because they probably went to your website, they got retargeted, right? They saw the ad, they saw the exact product, and that's effective. The reason why I'm bringing that up is because every channel is independent of itself. And you're saying, well, how much do I put with awareness? Well, if nobody knows you, putting a product in front of them, they're not going to trust it, right? They're going to be like, cool, you know, they're CBD brand. I get it, right? Or they're going to be like, wow, this person stands for X, Y, and Z. That's different. That's unique. And especially creativity, from my point of view, is a lot more leveraged when somebody doesn't know you, because you really need to stand out at the beginning, because or else you're going to be very minimal. You're going to be the same look and feel. And I think that's another something to be said real quick on that with design, is we need to stop designing to be trendy. We need to be designing for solutions. And so I think a lot of people fall into the same category of, hey, we want this look and feel because X, Y, and Z is doing it. That's the wrong point of view. You're not going to be effective. You need to look at what they're doing and then always be different and go back to who you are, which ties back to storytelling, right? That's the one opportunity you have to be unique. Why not leverage that facet?
But it's so tough, wouldn't you agree? I think especially from a brand perspective, because you're looking at your competitors, right? And am I too different that I'm not thought of as living in their space because I'm so different doing my own thing, staying true to who I am? What do you say to that when you're looking at the competition? How do you balance sticking with your brand values and your mission and who you are, but also needing to play in the same space as your competitors?
No, that's so, I love that question. So it's fine to play in the same sandbox, but you need to appear uniquely in that same sandbox, right? And that's the issue. I always say, so whenever we, you know, a big part of what we do is brand positioning, right? A company comes to us and they say, hey, this is what we're known for. And I go, cool, I believe you, I appreciate you, but I'm gonna do my own research. I do that because everybody is like, I'm the best in my market. I am the this, I'm the that. And it's like, cool, I get it. But why do you relate, and what makes you unique? And that's something that we have a huge skill and passion for. So going back to that, that's such the foundation of it. And who you are really helps permeate everything that you do. Because when you see an ad and you're playing in the same sandbox, you need to be, hey, this is why we're different, or this is what they're saying, this is what we're saying, or, you know, you need to have those key pillars. And I go, you know, with positioning, I like to have 3 to 4 unique positions per brand, right? It can have its main true north of this is who we are, but underlining underneath that, it's like, I want to have a couple positioning elements to help make us different from competitors. Because a lot of times when I audit competitors, it's literally, I kid you not, we're the traditional brands, or the heritage brand, We are the quality brand. We are the insert blank owned brand. We are the, I mean, I can go on and on and on. Oh, we're manufactured in the US brand, right? Like, how many of these things are you seeing over and oh, by the way, we're going to give you better margin, i.e. we're a direct to consumer brand, right? We just don't have the retailer. Obviously, that's how we bring down our margin and make our money. You know, how many of those brands are saying that? So that's kind of where I challenge brands is like, okay, let's get rid of that. Now what actually matters? So that's kind of the way I look at it.
I also can definitely recognize that there is no one size fits all when it comes to how you market yourself as a brand. And then more importantly, how you share your brand story, because every story is really different. But do you have some tips for anybody who's listening, who's a brand that wants to be able to share their brand story? What kind of tips, tricks should they kind of keep in their toolbox to make sure that they're staying true to themselves?
Yeah. So when it comes to impact within business and organization, I think it comes around the centralization of leadership and just the overall excitement and passion and energy that everybody has, right? So what I love to do, and anybody trying to do it, if they feel like their brand's kind of stale, if they feel like they're not excited, what I'd love them to do is just like everybody get in the same room and just take a step back and look at like, okay, over the last 2-3 years, what have we done that's great? What have we done that we should improve on? And what are people starting to get us to know us for? From that point of view, then you can really elicit some of your teams. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in terms of surveys, there's a lot of feedback, but from my point of view, it just comes down to like, and not to beat a dead horse, because I think authenticity is just like the cliche of all cliches, but like, it's true, right? Like at the end of the day, it's how can you get everybody in the same room, rallying behind the same mission and same values? Because the more aligned you are, the better off you're going to be as an organization. It comes down to efficiency. It comes down to excitement at the workplace. Because if you don't have both of those, then you're going to have a higher turnover rate. Talk about, you know, everybody wants to talk about revenue, but what about the fact when you lose an employee and that's going to be a net cost? Obviously, you know, branding is like a big thing where, you know, a lot of times it can be very intangible, but from a business standpoint, it's more important and it's more about the business strategy and who you are than anything, because that helps form all the decisions you do make, you know, moving forward. And another thing on that, right, is like, you said it earlier and I love it because it's always the sales and marketing like duop, right? In a perfect world, right?
It's the battle.
It's the battle always, right? In the perfect world nowadays, they should not be a battle. It should be like, hey, how do we work together? Everything in business should be very, I get it, sales focused. You should have that point of view. I get it. Like obviously we're in business, like you said at the beginning, but how can we get sales and marketing to work as one? And a good example would be, say the salespeople once a month, they're getting and eliciting feedback and they're saying, hey, I really need to do X, Y, and Z. We're getting a huge, you know, drop off for our subscriptions, or we're getting a huge so-and-so, right? Then they talk to the marketing people and say, well, why don't you do a win back campaign? Is there a promotion that we can do to help win them back? That, in my point of view, is like, how can you leverage technology from like a CRM standpoint and from a relational driven point of view work together, right? And so to answer your question, it's just like a lot of reflection and it's a lot of just being really honest and humble about who you are, then taking the time to put an effective plan in place. I feel like everybody's just too run and gun. Who are we? And just trying to figure it out. But at the end of the day, it's like, why did you start this business? And what was the value you're looking to solve? That's pretty much it from my point of view.
Well, and I also think that that is exactly why setting up your mission and values is key, because essentially your mission and values is going to be your North Star of sharing and building, creating, delivering your brand story. And if you don't have that to fall back on, then it makes everything tougher. It makes it harder to reflect. But it's interesting that you said that too, because I think that a lot of those points you need to understand, even when you're trying to establish like an influencer marketing program, one of the biggest pain points that people have is finding the right influencer. But if you know who you are and you know what you're looking for, like you can be strategic, you can be exclusive. You can say like, hey, I know you have a lot of followers, but I'm looking for someone who loves my brand, because that person is going to share the story. You know, what are your thoughts on using that to find the right influencers to represent your brand?
I mean, that's everything, right? Because at the end of the day, you're tapping into the emotional side of somebody's brain.
Yeah.
It's not just so contractual. A good example is we worked with Celsius, and in 2019, we traveled around the US shooting with over 100 plus different influencers. And I kid you not, we had everybody contracted to do X, Y, and Z. They had to do, right, your cliche, I need two stories, I need one post feed. But like the biggest thing that every brand negates is that we're all human. We were able to develop a relationship with these individuals, and like we became a part of their community. And in turn, they became a part of our community. They let us into their circle. Therefore, we get to be let into theirs. It's just this triage of like working together in harmony. Then from there, I mean, talk about the ROI, right? Like because they liked us and because we were on the same level, you know, playing field hypothetically in that regard. I mean, they did 3-4 times what they were contracted to do, right? And talk about ROI, talk about impressions, like what is the value you put on a really good relationship with somebody? And everybody would have looked at them and said, oh, they have 5,000 followers. Cool. They're tiny. They don't have much lift or whatever. But like, arguably, you know, they know and they run these towns, and just because they don't have a lot of social clout doesn't mean like that they don't make a lot of impact, right? That's why everybody's going towards the micro and nanos. It's just way more effective because they don't have right followers that don't necessarily align with their brand. And I think, you know, Instagram is a very good testament of that. It's just, it got so saturated. And now the smart brands are like, no, I want to go after the people that know who they are, which in turn, they know their audience, which in turn, they have a higher conversion rate. They have a lot of comments. They have a lot of DMs. Like anything they say, their whole network is just like, yep, I'll buy it right now. Cool. I'm in. Sold. You don't even have to sell me because it's part of their lifestyle. Like that's what you want, right? Like you don't want to, you know, there's the influencers that I swear to God, like, oh, this CBD brand. Oh, this is the new brand. Oh, here's this brand. It's like over and over and over again. And like, time and time again, you're going to see right through it.
Yeah. I like to think of influencers ideally, right? Like in kind of like the perfect setup, the influencer program that you develop, those people should be representation of your customers. It's like you're trying to identify those people who are like the top brand A lovers. And they are the ones that are going to be the best spokespeople that you don't have to say, hey, I need you to do 5 of these. They will go above and beyond because they love the product. I mean, I know that especially for myself, there are some products that I could not stop talking about. Ask me my opinion on this, I will tell you. And then I will get off my soapbox and then it will be good. And I think that those are a great... That's what you ideally have to look for. That's who's going to share your brand story. But again, it also goes down to really knowing who it is you are, your mission and your values. And I feel like I say that a lot. And then I say the word authenticity a lot, but they're more than just buzzwords. It's true. And no one wants to see the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I think that's, and I love that you brought that up because that's what I was talking about is a brand and a product is not what you tell them what it is in that regard. It's about bringing them into your community in same alignment with values. I'll talk about all day certain brands, right? It's because I know who they are and they're constantly saying, hey, yes, I stand for this. And they back up what they're saying. It's not just enough these days to say, hey, I stand for X, Y, and Z. You have to pretty much put your mouth, you know, where it's at, right? You have to back that up with claims and actually do stuff. And I think people see right through that. And that's the best part I'd say about influencer marketing. And specifically, the thing that you're hitting at is that we're all human, right? And at the end of the day, like we have main desires and we have wants and all these core competencies of who we are as an individual. How can you find the right product that adds value to your life? And that's what we need to refocus branding, design, you name it on, except in the day, if you don't have a product that doesn't matter and people aren't buying it, it's so irrelevant. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like for me, you know, for you guys did a great job of, you guys saw, right? Just to go back to Grin, and this is just my point of view, everybody was offering influencer marketing services, right? Of the idea of like, hey, there's this, there's that, you can find this person, but like there's no database, there's no CRM, there's nothing behind it. And truly, to be effective, you need to source good ones, you need to document on good ones, and you need to have a good system in place for the other people to be effective. It's way too complicated for anybody to think, oh, and influencer marketing is easy. It is so challenging. It's so hard. And it takes a lot of like building a community and working with them one-on-one. And I think that's a huge thing that I wanted to note as well, is that the effectiveness comes to from working with a lot of influencers. When we take the time to chat with them about who we are, we take the time to talk about our products and why they're unique, they're a lot more effective. It's like salespeople. You got to pretty much lay them up to the information and what you want to communicate. Then from there, everything will go from there. But if you don't have the right story, you don't have the right values, you don't have any of that stuff, what are they going to communicate? Kind of full circle of the storytelling, to say the least.
I actually appreciate the full circle of the storytelling, and really, truly what you're identifying as like taking the time to introduce your brand to your influencers, right? Tell them about, you know, who you are, what you represent. I almost feel like that is exactly what you should do with all of your branding. That's how you share your story with everybody, not just with influencers, with your customers. Take the time to introduce them. I always like to, I refer back to like a dating metaphor, right? You gotta woo them, right? This is not a one night stand. You're in this for the long haul. Tell them about you, take them out, woo them, buy them a drink, then buy them lunch, then buy them dinner, or whatever your cycle is for dating. But you know what I mean? Like really take the time to introduce who it is that you are and what you're trying to share with them. I promise, I have a couple more questions. Well, see, and this is exactly why I told you, I very often veer from the path of my questions, but I'm wondering what your thoughts are on kind of the evolution of being able to tell your brand story in the day and age that we are. Do you think that it is harder right now for brands to share their story, or do you think it's become easier because there's so many different touch points?
I love that question. Okay. So I have a lot of theories on this. So
okay, fantastic.
The first one being, obviously there's a lot more people in the world. Obviously there's a lot of brands. There's a lot more of an access to creating a brand hypothetically, and certain industries have a lower barrier to entry. That being said, dependent on that, right? Let's just use alcohol as an example. It's going to be really hard to break into that market. It's going to cost you millions and millions and millions of dollars. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Right. However, if you're in the D2C realm, right, and say you have a product, what people are doing, right, you go on Amazon, you see if there's Lyft, right? If that Lyft is working well, then you pretty much take that idea, then you brand it, right? And then you create an identity around it. Well, the problem is that I see, and going back to your question, is that it's just a matter of, do you want to be another Me Too brand, which is where the noise comes from, right? Like from my point of view, that's the overwhelmingness. Like consumers do not like a lot of options. Give them three options and call it a day, right? Like there's just way too many options. And I think it's the brands and it's the markets that become saturated that make it a lot harder. But that goes back to business 101. Yeah. Do you have a unique product? Yes or no? If you don't, do not enter the marketplace. Like you're just not going to get anywhere, right? Obviously you can throw a lot of advertising at it, right? You might make some money, but like for the long term of it, like, are you actually solving a problem? And I think that comes down to like the ethics of the individual of like, what's the value they want to provide the world, right? Is that X, Y, and Z? You know, it's up to you. So it's really hard to know exactly, you know, is it harder? Is it easier? I just like to look at it more of like, you know, what market are you looking to get into? And are you unique enough? And then can you get into it? So everything's hard, right? It just comes down to the uniqueness of who you are to separate yourself. And then do you have all the, you know, ethos, and do you have the money to kind of back it up and stuff like that?
That totally makes sense. And my final question is a great piggyback on that. So it is prediction time. I'd love to know what your predictions are for how brands are going to share their story in the next year. And I, especially with the pandemic, but within the next year, within the next 2 years, what does that look like for you? What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say there's three components to it. And so I think the first one, right, is just consumer expectations have, and I said it before, but obviously with the millennial group, like expectations with photography, media, that stuff has completely elevated the game, right? Like if you don't look good, that's why they say like 94, 91% of first impressions are design related, right? People go to a website and if it doesn't look the part, there's no chance anybody's going to convert on it, right? Like that's what a lot of the stats are saying. The predictions over the next couple of years, I think, is just looking at mixed media. And that's a huge thing that we operate in. So it's like, how can you bring together video, design, and photography and copywriting, which is a lot to ask. I'm not going to lie. But that is definitely the future of it, right? Because expectations are just being shifted. However, what I love about what's happening is we are getting in the area or the time of like, it's cool to be who you are. And we don't need to look a certain way, like just be yourself. However, obviously, like a lot of people are still using the mixed media to help tell that story. So the vehicle for where it goes is always going to be the same, but it's the way you present yourself. That's the throughput that's changing. The second thing that we're seeing, right, is voice. And that's an aha, right? Because I think voice has always been compelling because that's the first time that you can feel, and I know this is very intangible, but like when you talk to somebody, you can feel the, are they humble? Are they nice? Are they genuine? Are they passionate? Right? Like that's the point where you're seeing like the clubhouses of the world. You're seeing like the podcast like this, right? Why they're taking rings. Cause you finally get to actually learn who's behind the brand and you get to believe them. Yes. We're saying a lot of stuff and a lot of people 24/7 people are inundated, but what do they want to do? They want to be trusted. They want to like have a relationship. We're born to have a relationship with people and with brands. The problem is I think we're just like throwing way too much at them. And then the expectations were just off the rocker. Buy. Back to your thing. Yeah. We need to court people. We can't treat them transactional. And I think that's where a lot of brands fail. So voice, I think, is going to be huge. And then I think the next big thing is just like I was saying earlier, and this isn't necessarily new. It's more about putting perspective in people that you align with than it is about your own kind of people in that regard. So like going back to brand ambassadors or influencers, we kind of went through our hay of like, oh, you're an influencer. Like, I'll pay you money. Right now it's like, whoa, let's take a step back and let's actually find people who align with what we stand for. And then let's develop strategies around them. Right. That's the biggest shift. I think a lot of times we come out with a campaign and we don't bring them along our journey. Right. That's always been my biggest thing is like, let them know what we're doing and let them weigh in and also let them tell the story that would resonate with their audience. Right. It should be, you know, let's work together as a unit, not like, hey, I need you to do X, Y, and Z because I'm going to pay you X amount of money. Those are kind of the three things that I see. It's pretty wild. I'm not going to lie, where things have come within the last couple of years. I mean, look at TikTok has completely changed the game, but look at that. Creativity is everything in TikTok, right? Gen Z is all about that. Like the editing app within TikTok is light years ahead of a lot of different places. We're letting them create a video that's unique and fun, creative. We're layering in music, right? Like there's all these creative components that are making, you know, everything kind of stand out and stuff like that. So definitely really exciting.
And really accessible to everybody.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Which is fantastic, especially since I'm not a video or audio editor. Like it is fantastic to have that kind of power within the palm of your hand. Well, Josh, thank you so much for joining me. I held you much longer than I pitched you. So I apologize for that, but I'm so thankful that you were able to come on the podcast and just kind of share your thoughts, your insights, and provide some actionable tips for everybody. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you again. I very much appreciate it. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out.
Absolutely. During our chat, Josh and I discussed how to share your brand story. We dove into the importance of establishing your mission and values and letting those be your compass for sharing your story as a brand. And how in sharing that story, you should take an omni-channel approach, but be strategic with what you share in each channel to really help amplify your story. We even touched on influencer marketing and how those mission and values can help you in your influencer search. Want to hear more? Be sure to subscribe to the Grin Gets Real podcast to get the latest episodes. Give us some stars, I wouldn't mind 5 of them, and leave us a review. If you're interested in learning more about Grin, visit our website at grin.co. That's grin.co. Until next time, keep grinning.